You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, After Buzzers, and welcome to the third season, the seventh episode of Showtime's Homeland, episode entitled Geronchon, or something that we couldn't figure out exactly.
Maybe it's like a girl.
What it meant, or something.
Oh, did you find that?
No.
No?
Didn't find it. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe somebody will look it up in the booth named Stephen Lemieux and let us know sometime during the episode.
Geronchon.
Yeah, whatever that means, if you can Google that or something. I don't know. Anyway, hell of an episode, guys. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me today is...
Stefan Wallace.
And Nando Velasquez.
Yes, Thaddeus, Nando, and Stefan. We're about to jump right into it.
Do you want to know Geronchon?
Yes, Geronchon. Tell us, Stephen.
All right. Stephen Lemieux, our producer.
Geronchon is a... let's see here. It's a T.S. Eliot poem. And the one excerpt that it has at the top says, Thou hast nor youth nor age, but as it were an after-dinner sleep dreaming of both. But it's a fairly long poem.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll read it.
Okay.
And we'll come back next week with maybe how that poem relates to the episode in some way, because obviously it has to have some correlation. So,
quote the Raven.
Yeah. Or you guys will let us know.
Let them tweet. Everybody
tweet us
and comment.
Let us know. Tell us what you guys know or find out about what that means and how it correlates to the episode. But starting off this episode, it was a good episode. I really liked the psychological. It was like a gameplay. Chess moves were made. Saul was in the interrogation room with Javadi, and it was so funny how Javadi, I guess when you're a boss and you're somebody who's in charge, you're used to dictating, orders and dictating terms and arrangements of how things are going to work out. And he was pretty much telling Saul, what his terms were going to be.
Right, yeah.
And Saul is about to walk. You think Saul, he's like, those are your terms? Okay. He thinks that Saul's about to leave the room, and he turns around. He's like, I think you got this all wrong here.
Well, this continues the whole chess match, because I think it was a chess move, him killing his ex-wife and his daughter-in-law.
Right.
That was part of the chess move, saying, okay, you know what? You think you got me cornered?
Right.
Well, here we go. I still have some plays left.
Right.
So I still think it's continuing the chess match, but it was really interesting to see him blow up when Saul was like, nuh-uh, you're not just going to give me some secrets and then get off scot-free.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
you're going back to Iran, sucker.
Right, what do you want? Like he wanted like a fortress
in Miami.
In Miami, are you kidding me?
I want to be on South Beach with this, guards out front.
And, I want heightened security.
I want all my money too.
Right,
make sure I get all my money.
Right, all the money that I siphoned, all the terrorist money. Like, are you kidding me?
I want to live the rest of my life in bliss. Thank you, Saul.
Right. And while you're at it, give me a Kardashian.
Right.
While you're at it.
we'll probably get a Kardashian.
You probably would, right? Yeah, there you go. Right. While you're at it.
All right, throw one in.
I love the layers of each plan. It's always like when you think about even Saul, there's like an inner circle, then there's an inner circle, and then there's just Saul, and he knows even deeper what he was about to do.
Right.
Because Pharaoh was like, wait, nobody told me we were sending them back?
Right. Was that the plan all along? Did you guys know? Everybody's kind of brushing her off.
They're like, fine, you're in the circle, but you're in that circle.
Outside of the inner circle.
Well, she's still new, and she obviously has her own theories on how things should be done. From her culture, from her ways. And, yeah, I mean, look.
But she's not in a position of authority to even be questioning.
No, but she has shown some emotional, she has been very emotional at times this season. So she's still young, and she's obviously gotten involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has her heart in there.
Yeah, she definitely does. And she's it's definitely personal with her. I mean, you could see when she went in there and she was interviewing Javadi for Saul. Saul was standing right there. And
that interview
they start speaking. It lasted all of 10 seconds. And then they're speaking in their native tongue. And I mean, she said a bunch of cuss words in another language.
Right,
and Mr. Stefan were like, oh, those were not nice.
I need subtitles. I want some subtitles.
Yeah, why don't they ever have subtitles on this stuff? I want to hear what some of this stuff means.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so she's definitely emotionally compromised in the situation. Not like she's an operative and she's undercover and it's like necessary for her not to be emotionally compromised. But, you know, you have to have a certain level of control. I mean, Carrie was like, when they were looking at the interview from behind closed doors on the screen, Carrie was telling her, like, you know, you can't let him get to you. She was like, well, he does.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and fake and act like this doesn't hit home with me.
It's really deep there. She's got deep rooted hatred for him, and it's personal.
Well, she obviously has more of knowledge about him because of her own background, her own culture, where her family comes from, as opposed to someone like Carrie or Saul, who of course they see this man as a criminal, as a international criminal and a terrorist. But you know, to them, he's the Langley bomber, or he's one of the men behind the Langley bombing.
Right.
And yes, that's a big deal, but you know, they don't see all the other.
Atrocities.
Well, they see it, but it's not their concern. Their concern right now is to cover their butts for the Langley bombing, and also here's an opportunity. I mean, this is a big gamble that Saul is doing.
Right.
Instead of arresting, because obviously we see later Lockhart, Lockhart and Farrah are on the same side in the sense of we should try this man.
Right.
We should try, although he has different intentions and different reasons for it. He's like, we should try this man.
Right.
And Saul is like, no, he is an asset right now. We can use him as an asset because he is a way into a country that, he said it, it's a black box.
Right.
We don't know how to get in there for 30 years. We haven't been able to get in there. And here's our chance to get in here. And if it gives a criminal like this some freedom,
right,
so be it.
Yeah.
And this is what everybody, I mean, you guys have to let us know what you think about this, obviously, because I think this is one of those situations where everybody's moral compass, like the antennas on everybody's moral compass kind of stands up and they're like, what do you do? How do you handle this situation? Because you can argue the rights on both sides of this scenario.
Sure.
Do you take this guy and do you go ahead and string him up right here, right now? We've got him. You're a criminal, war criminal, everything. You fit every list of criminal. You're a traitor to us. You're a traitor to your own country.
Right.
Like, you know, this guy is obviously not a good guy. You know, comes back home, murders family members, and they're going to send him back. So as far as Saul is concerned, Saul's argument is like, look, we have an opportunity to really shake up the whole region and change the complexion of the whole region to our favor. We have to look beyond the atrocities of this one guy. We take this guy down, they're just going to put somebody else back up that we're not going to have access to, especially at that level.
And we start at square one again.
We start at square one. Now, my argument is, or my question, not my argument, but my question is, although obviously trust is not the right word, we can't trust this guy. But is it wise to send him back? Now, the thought pattern or thought process that Saul is using to send him back is completely logical, totally makes sense to send him back as an asset. But this guy is in the higher-ups. The information that they have on him, is it possible, do you guys think, and what do you guys think at home, do you think that would give him time to spin that information, because information is just that, information. It could be doctored, it could be manipulated.
He is an intelligence officer.
And he is an intelligence officer.
Yeah.
So he can go back to his home, go back to the home state in Tehran, and take whatever information and spin it and use it for his benefit against CIA.
Well, not just that. I mean, also just the fact that I feel like Saul turned him based on his vision, his dream. Like, oh, this is my dream of what we used to be. And you know, it's kind of like, I trust you at the end of the day, more or less. I don't think there's anything other than the embezzlement that really is concrete that can hold Javadi to Saul.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's that, and he could definitely change that. And there's no other motivation. It was just kind of a weird I get it, and it's kind of nice for him to say, like, remember when we were younger and we had this dream? We had this, you know. it's kind of nice mm-hmm. in a very upstanding way. But come on, you know, I don't think in a real world it really works that way.
Well, I mean, the motivation.
No, the mass murderer.
Yeah. Also, you know what? I liked how he alluded to, well, he didn't allude. He actually said it. It's like, look, by some strange roundabout way, you recruited me, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And now, based on everything that's happened, I'm in the position that I'm in because of you. And he basically offered him power and placing and installing him back in a position of power over there with his cooperation.
I guess that works, yeah.
Like, remember when they were talking and he mentioned that?
Right.
How do you guys feel about him offering him a position of power? And then that also thinks you like, oh, is that what they did with Saddam Hussein? Is that the government?
You know, yeah, because it's worked so well before, if you know, based on past history.
Right.
Yeah,
and then,
totally.
Then as soon as the business deal goes awry or there's a breach of contract, you have to like go extract them and get them out of there now.
Yeah.
So how do you guys feel about the fact that Saul even offered that incentive, quote unquote, to give this guy some level of power? I should, I should at least return the favor, kind of thing.
I think
to me is enough motivation not to be publicly hung,
right,
and strung up like is what they're practicing again.
Sure.
That's enough for me. I wouldn't have to offer him.
Yeah, Saul said,
you know what I'm saying?
Public hanging is in vogue again,
right?
Yeah,
I think Saul is very deep. He's a very deep thinker. He really thinks ahead.
Right.
And you almost have to trust that he knows better. He's appealing to the interest, you know, that he feels like if I give you this power, I make this trade-off. This is something that he knows that
Javadi.
Mm-hmm. He knows Javadi will go for. He's not going to say something that Javadi's not going to, you know, go with. Saul knows this guy.
Right.
It's not so much the trust. I think it's a knowing of his habits. Mm. He knew he recognized them by going after using his favorite soccer guy heroes
soccer
name.
Player, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he has a pattern. This Javadi has a pattern. He has a way that he does things. So Saul's appealing to that, I think.
Right. So somewhat of a vanity.
Yeah, he knows he's going to be there. Saul even said something to him at the end there. He said, how do you know I won't just run, Javadi said,
right,
or I won't just disappear? And he said something like, I believe you'll, I can't remember that line. There's a line right there.
I can't remember it either now.
But Saul said something to the effect of, it is who you are.
Right.
I know that you'll show up because that's who you are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was kind of that thing. I think Saul's thought it through.
Right.
Well, again, it's a very flimsy, I don't know, it's all flimsy, like. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel there's anything concrete to really hold Javadi except for to his word, which is kind of weird. You know, again, he's going to be back in Iran and who knows what he can do.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the whole show. I mean, every contract on this show comes down to,
I mean,
you trust in somebody to do what they say.
The only thing that makes sense is when he said that, you know, you attack us, then we attack you. And pretty much he's saying, we know you attacked us.
Right.
So
right.
Our next step is to attack you.
Right.
So, we can break the cycle and do this and we can, you know, have, satisfy both sides.
Right.
So to speak. So, yeah.
This guy, just going back, you know, to the interview, when he had him in the room, he's kind of, he asked him why he killed his wife and the daughter-in-law. To me, the daughter-in-law was just collateral damage. She was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
It was all really about the ex-wife. And, dude, you know the culture. Like, if they were married, there's no ex-wife under God.
Yeah, he said, my wife.
Right. If I would have had people to give me more time, I didn't have enough time to stone her to death. You know, so it's like, I'm just like, you know, why is Saul asking that? Like, he should know. He knows the culture. Knows that.
Crazy, Saul's on top of it, though. Saul also knows that the time's ticking. So he's got, 10 days before he's no longer in power at CIA. Mm-hmm. He may not even be employed.
Based on the way things went with Lockhart, right?
Yeah.
So Saul's he has a plan.
Right.
He has a plan in place. It's going to unfold, and we'll see it. He's deep. He's deeper than we all know.
No, that's true. Well, I mean, when he took Javadi to the side before he sent him away with Carrie, he took him in the back, that little back hallway.
Mm-hmm.
so he could actually find out, you know, get that little tidbit of information.
Right.
And I feel like that's going to be, this is a semi-prediction, I guess. Well, it's not a prediction. It's kind of obvious. Well, that is the...
It's okay. You can do obvious predictions. You're safe.
Well, the bombing is obviously is turning into the subplot as opposed to the, you know, we're really getting back on track. And this is where I feel like the show is transitioning away from Brody. Like, you can exonerate Brody. But, you know, it's going to be all about back to the network.
Right.
You know, it's the IRC? IRG.
Well, first
IRGC.
Of all,
IRGC.
Which is Iranian Revolutionary Guard or something like that.
Yeah, Iranian Revolutionary Guard.
Yeah.
Something.
So, let's not downplay that question. I think that's a huge question that he asked. And it's great that us as the audience supposedly get an answer.
Well, that's something that we need.
That Brody is innocent.
Yeah. That's definitely something that. But that lets the audience know where the story, where the show, and what direction the show is going to go. Because now you have Saul on this grand scale who's dealing with Javadi and using him as an asset and having having them take down and manipulate the complexion of the network of the IRGC over in Tehran.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you have the subplot of Kerry exonerating Brody. He didn't commit the bombing, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
I almost got confused there for a second because Javadi said something like, who gave the keys to the guy? He said Brody didn't.
Well, yeah, he kind of teased that Brody might have given the keys.
Yeah, I was like, wait. So Brody's still in a roundabout way.
And Javadi can be lying. Who knows? Javadi could be fibbing a little bit.
Right.
It doesn't seem like he is.
Yeah.
And you have two expert, you know, analysts who should be able to read somebody when they're lying or telling the truth. I mean, I guess sometimes they need a lie detector like Javadi needed the other episode. But you think they can understand and read them.
Right.
But for all intents and purposes, at least for right now, it seems like Brody is at the very least, innocent of the bombing. Maybe he gave his car keys to somebody. Who knows?
I mean, he might have given it and it might have just been an order.
Sure.
Give him your keys. He doesn't know what they're going
to
do.
Oh, he didn't know what it was for.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't know what it was for. You know, kind of thing. So
yeah.
I don't trust him, though. He knows that Saul kind of used Kerry in a certain way in order to get him there. And I think he may be trying to play Kerry. She's easily manipulated when she becomes emotional.
Mm.
You know, and we've seen that over the last couple seasons.
And he is using he did use the Brody as the emotional.
He's playing on that emotion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he may be able to have Kerry. He may be able to turn her.
And turn her against Saul a little bit by saying that Saul was asking this question to me. So there you go. It shows a difference of opinion between the two of you.
It was really funny as how he said, you know, that's really messed up or that's really cruel to Kerry. Like, I would never do something like
that. Because it's the old,
it's like,
we're friends now. We can be friends.
You just stabbed your ex-wife to death with a beer, like a bottle of shards in her neck, like a million times. And this is cruel. That's cruel what Saul did to you.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
Mm.
Dude, you really are a psycho.
But she can't even pick it up. And you know, she's sharp.
Yeah.
But because she's blinded with the whole Brody thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's listening. She's got her ears open.
That's her baby daddy.
That's her baby daddy.
That's her baby daddy.
Talking about baby daddy.
Yeah.
She's having
morning sickness.
She's going to meet the police to find out after Quinn gets caught on the neighbor surveillance camera. She has to go and try to calm this situation down.
Yeah.
So she goes to meet with the captain.
Mm.
At the murder scene, at the house.
To cover up this whole double murder. Yeah.
This mess.
And
this,
yet.
This shit.
Yeah.
They kept saying.
Shit. The detective kept saying it. He said this. He didn't even know how else to describe it.
I know.
He just kept saying this shit. How do you justify? And I like that they actually installed this guy because now that Dana's gone, we have a new moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the detective.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to keep him around, but they'll probably always like plant a little different.
Sure.
If I can make a prediction, I think he's going to be gone after. I think he served his purpose this episode.
No, yeah. I just mean that I think they're always going to dump somebody in an episode who will kind of serve as some sort of moral compass for the audience, you know, on the audience's behalf kind of thing. That's what it seemed like to me.
Perhaps. But I think we have enough people who want to know the truth or again, he's kind of somebody else. You wonder why he wants to know the truth. Does he want to try Javadi if Javadi's guilty. I mean, Jotty is guilty if he discovers Javadi's guilty.
I mean, to me, it kind of annoyed me, yeah, to be honest with you, because it just didn't seem realistic at all. It's like, well, you have this man on camera. It's classified. The man comes in after, of his own free volition. Obviously, he's operative working with the CIA. Like, this is so obvious.
Right. Yeah.
What do you feel like you need to get explained to
well,
you?
Well, yeah, and you're going to bury it anyway because they told you to bury it because right. It's national security. So right. Why is it? I still want to know. And it's like, come on. It's like, you see, these two agents won't give you an answer.
Right.
What if you got the answer? Maybe because you're not under the same rules and regulations as the CIA, exactly. You might actually say, hey, honey, you won't believe it. When we go home to your wife, you won't believe this.
Right.
I just did his murder, and it's totally, you know, some terrorist from Iran's in town. You know, right. What do you do with it?
I think that the questioning had nothing to do with the point of what he was trying to get across. His point was to plant that seed. I was saying as I was watching it, he represents the people. He represents America. You know, we have no idea where our tax dollars really go. We have no idea what the CIA really does. We have no idea about all this stuff. And they keep us out. We're all on the outside. And he's saying, this is the most frustrating thing in the world. And finally, I have one person to just unload on.
Right.
And represent the voice of the people.
I get what you're saying, but the only reason why I don't agree with it 100% because we as the audience knows what's going on. So he's not representing the voice of the audience.
Not the audience.
The American people as a whole.
Yes.
Whenever something like this happens. Oh, yeah. I kind of can understand that, but I still think this man is incredibly selfish because, again, it's not going to do anything to the police conversation because it's apparently this case will be closed by the CIA, by government officials.
Of course, of course.
So it's just like, I just want to know. And I'm just going to bring as many CIA agents and take you off your job, which is to protect this freaking country, so that you can answer my two or three questions about this murder.
I think
it's a bit selfish.
Which is really funny. I mean, beyond selfish, just like, how does this guy didn't have the authority to do this.
The other thing. He has no authority to do this, right. And yet he's got CIA agents going, oh my God, we gotta satisfy, what's the name of the Dragnet, we gotta satisfy Dick Tracy, Joe Friday. Over here, who's got like very little jurisdiction just for this block in this area of Washington,
right,
D.C.
Right.
So we got to do this just because we got to make sure that nobody discovers Javadi's in town until we can get him out of there.
Right.
So I don't know. The whole thing kind of.
It was annoying to me. That's why I said it kind of annoyed me.
Here's the reason why.
It's kind of like, dude, they don't have to answer to you. And you guys would be like, no, go back to work, go grab a donut.
No, but here's the reason why. Here's the reason why this guy is important. As annoying as I found him to be with his angle, mm-hmm. Here's the reason why he's important. He's here to really be Quinn's moral compass.
Yep.
Well, he did plant that seed, as we saw.
Because Quinn, we have to remember this from all the way back in the beginning of this season.
Right.
Quinn was really, really affected by killing that kid in Colombia when he was going for one of the six assassination targets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And here he comes walking in last week's episode seeing two women dead. One he's seeing being stabbed by a bottle, and the other one already shot in the head.
In the act.
In the act.
Yeah.
And this baby being alive.
Yeah.
And don't forget, this is almost the opposite of what happened to him. Like, he accidentally killed a kid.
Yeah.
And here it is, this kid is an orphan due to all this. So he is affected by all this. And if anything, I think the line was said, I think I wrote it down toward the end.
Did they say what happened to his son?
No.
What happened to Javadi's son?
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll come back up, but there's no mention.
I mean, just if anything justifies what we do. Mm-hmm. He literally says that to Carrie at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's saying that, he's not really talking about the Javadi murders. He's talking about what he did way back in episode one. So the only reason why this stupid police officer, and this character, because I thought it was annoying, was really, it only made sense when Quinn was there and he got to ream Quinn. And if Quinn didn't kill that kid, I really think Quinn would have held his own and been a lot less conflicted and a lot less like reflective over what he's done.
Right.
But so that was
it. Goes back to what you were saying, though. I mean, now you see the writer has implemented that moral compass. The moral compass is not if the cop will show back up. Cop's done.
Right.
Yeah. He did his job. He planted the seed. Now it's Quinn. So now as we go forward, he's our moral compass as the audience. He's always going to give us that other look. That other take, he actually was trying to wash his hands of all CIA duties.
Yeah,
he was.
You know, and Kerry kind of
brought him back into
reeling him back in.
I agree with it.
But I don't even think he'll ever be 100%.
But if he won't. I don't think so. I don't think so either. But I think it also it gives the audience that look in the mirror. Mm. Like, because, you know, whenever you watch a show that has this much plot lines or this much you do self-reflection, like,
sure.
You know, what would you do, or how do you feel? Like, you know, you some people feel that you should go bend this way. Some people feel like the situation should have been that way. And that's based on that own person's, like, moral compass and how they feel and their own character. So, you know, some people, it's like you watch the show and you're like, well, is really all this stuff that's going on
necessary?
Is it really making things better?
Mm.
Are things really? I know we're fighting the good fight, but is it really making things better?
Are things really better,
or are we just managing?
I'm sure that's tough. It's online. I think it's just, if anything, it's just Quinn just again being conflicted, just because. Yeah, I don't even know if it's a moral compass. It's like the prices that we have to pay for the job that we do.
Right.
That's really what it is. The prices that he has to pay. He has to live with the death of this kid. He has to live with watching, you know, this because of they weren't really as on top of Javadi last week as they thought they were.
Right.
They have to witness this double murder. You know, if their work is actually egging on the terrorists that they're trying to stop.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of that. I mean, don't forget, Javadi, part of the reason why Javadi is here right now is because of the assassination attempts that included what Quinn did in the beginning.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of tit for tat. And it kind of ties into what Saul was doing, which is he's trying to stop this by making an agreement. But here Quinn is, you know, again, the recipient of what he set in motion earlier this season.
Yeah. Quinn, you know, we see Quinn, you know, he's definitely questioning his role.
Yeah.
Or his position with the agency and staying. He said he was done, and I really believed him. And then all of a sudden, Carrie blinks her pretty.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, once we figure out what the play green. Is. Green, and, I think, right?
Yeah. And she, I can't do it without you. Right. I need your help. Yeah.
But even she, I think, is misdirected now. Hmm. She's so Brody focused that I don't know that she's looking at it as the big picture. She's more or less exonerating Brody. It's all about how do we get back to that.
What I'm really interested in is how Javadi alluded to that maybe the attorneys had something to do with the whole the attorneys that represented him.
He said
they're not
Paul Franklin.
Yeah, he said they're really not. He said, well, they're not my attorneys anymore. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Like after,
so you can go for them because they're not my attorneys
anymore.
Right,
exactly. But they have something to do with the bombing.
Right.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me either.
Or is it his really? Play? Now remember, he's a very intelligent guy as well.
Is but those attorneys,
those people killed.
It could be his. Yeah, it could
to
be
take
plan.
Those guys out. It's a part of his play. Remember?
Well, we saw.
Yeah, but you got to remember, you're dealing with intelligence officers as well. So you're not planting. You're planting a seed, but you're not giving him. You're not giving Kerry or anybody any information to go off of, and therefore there's nothing that leads to them. Doing anything.
Well, don't forget, he gave him something. I mean, we saw in clips for next week's episode that they're obviously going to go for this guy, and some really interesting things seem to happen. It seems to be a little bit of a conspiracy theory going on next week. Mm-hmm. So maybe Javadi knew all this stuff, and that's why he gave them the tools to actually expose something else that they're aware of. So, again, it's still a chess match going on here, and I think that's all part of the chess match, just feeding information. You can't just hand the information. You got to give them plant the seeds, like you said.
Right.
Got to plant the seeds to see what happens.
This is like a chess match. In a chess match.
In a chess match.
In a chess match.
In a chess match.
And then when you get to the bottom, you realize it was just a game of Connect Four. the whole time.
Gee, what was that? The commercial was like, oh, sis, you got me again. I don't know. Connect Four. I'm dating myself. Yeah, Connect Four.
I know, right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so let's talk about Saul having to go and answer to Senator Lockhart since he's been missing for the last...
I want a conference room like that. I want a conference room where I could just shut off the windows like that and audio in 1 second.
It was like he turned him off.
Yeah, it was awesome.
He was like, you son of a...
Yeah.
And it was just off, like a exactly like a television.
Well, yeah, I mean, great play. Well, first of all, I mean, he had to confess to Dar what was going on, and I know we've all felt like we don't trust Dar for the past couple of episodes. Right. So, we joked around that he might even be a mole or something, and then I was like, nah, he's not a mole. It wouldn't be that obvious, but obviously right. there's still a little something going on between the two of them. So, and Dar ended up siding more or less with Saul for the time being.
Well, because to do what he did actually shows some cojones. Mm-hmm. I mean, he actually stood up to this guy, locked him in a room, was like, look, I'll take care of the president. You know, like, he really...
Sure.
And that's how Dar likes that kind of thing. Yeah. Dar is like, yeah, he's finally grown some balls, and he's actually like, you know, he's been waiting for Saul to actually exact his power, and he's exacting his power right now, but he's been doing it this whole time. He just didn't include him in on this high level. You know,
Dar understands now, so it's interesting.
And Dar's role seems to be more special ops, and that's more of when you're like laying the hammer. He's like the heavy, and right now it was all about espionage. It wasn't about being the heavy and being the goon and going in there and sniping people out and this was an operational procedure that needed an intelligence officer like Carrie, and he just brought Quinn in to have Carrie's back.
Yeah,
that was it, because she's in the line of, she's in a dangerous spot. So that's pretty much all it was.
And that Farrah knows about it too. I mean, Dar was insulted. I think
what do you call it? The towel head? Where is it? He took the scarf head. No, he took the scarf head. The scarf head's been missing too. I guess she's with you.
Well, I could understand him feeling insulted. He feels completely on the outside. He felt he was on the inside with Saul.
Right.
And that Saul trusted him. And it just turns out that they both, you know, it didn't seem like Dar trusted Saul either, because when he was talking to Lockhart, he kind of withheld information to Saul later on. So. I felt we were led to believe that a little bit. I felt his conversation with Saul last week was a little...
I think the writers were just trying to mess with us.
Yeah, just trying to mess with us. I agree. I agree with that now. I totally freaking agree with that now.
Right.
Yeah. But still, I mean, look, that was such an awesome scene. It just was great having Saul get mad again, have him go to the conference room and shut this guy down, and then later on be like, oh, by the way, Senator Lockhart seemed to have locked himself up in a conference room. When you have a chance, maybe you should see if he's still in there and let him out.
Saul had a little swag for a second.
Yeah, he did. It was awesome, man. It was totally awesome.
I think Dar respects Saul because he sees the big picture and he understands it.
Yeah.
And it was clear that with Lockhart, he just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
He's a part of what the problem is.
He's a figurehead. He's a political figurehead.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, if he comes in and they're working the way Lockhart wants to work, and they're using the drones and all that to gather intel, it's like, dude, you're not going to get information, accurate information from 17,000 feet in the air. It's just not going to happen. Like, what do you think is going on? And the fact that Lockhart doesn't get that, to me, is
Lockhart just doesn't want to get his hands dirty. That's all it really is, I think.
Yeah, but he's
said,
not,
let's kill him.
Yeah, but he's not going in and doing the work.
No.
He's just going to give an order.
Well, as a figure of speech, yeah.
No, I understand. But what I'm saying is, it's not going to hurt the agency for him to actually send in agents or operatives that are supposed to go in there and do what they're supposed to do. Go and spy and handle espionage and
whatever it is.
And do whatever it is that it takes to gather intel.
Yeah.
As opposed to sending drones.
Yeah.
I mean, what good are drones besides being able to maybe see where weapons are located?
It's going to be very interesting to see 10 days from now where everything goes. Lockhart goes.
Well, if they give him that chance, if he ever gets that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's set up, right? They're saying the president's already said Lockhart's our guy, so he'll be running the CIA. And I feel like there's going to be a couple of different divisions now.
He could start talking to – he could talk to the president before he's out of office, though. Before he's out in the next 10 days as the director, acting director of the CIA – he can go in and say, Mr. President,
really?
I need a meeting, bro.
Interesting to know.
Just like that.
I need a meeting, bro.
No.
I mean, if he's in charge right now, anything could happen in this time period. So he has to respect that this guy is the guy who's the guy for right now until the senator takes over.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't even, to me, he's a senator. Okay, he's a senator. Like, what qualifications does he have to operate the CIA at this level?
him and the president are in the same fraternity, so you know that's how it always goes in the government.
Probably, probably.
No, this 10 days will probably take about 2 episodes anyway, so it doesn't matter. It's going to be stretched out.
Yeah, it is going to be stretched out, and it's going to be very interesting to see how this is going to play out. You know, one of my questions was going back to Farrah, she was so enraged about the situation. I mean, you saw earlier when Javadi was being escorted out.
She grabbed the scissors.
I really thought that she was going to, like, stab this guy in the neck or something and, like throw a wrench in the hole.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's going to have another opportunity. I think she is.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, like, she might. I'm wondering if she might have a chance to throw a wrench in, like, the works.
Yeah. That lets me know that this has something to do with her personal family. This is not...
Yeah, you've been saying that, Stephon.
I'm telling you, it's going to come out. This is like he killed her mom or he is her father.
Somebody was a victim of something they did.
Somebody. And it's very, very personal and deep.
We're going to definitely find out. And, they've included her as an integral part of this, you know, intelligence operation. Yeah. So I don't really foresee them...
Yeah,
writing her out.
Yeah,
right. Like she's there, mm-hmm. and she's a good actress, and she's pretty. So
yeah,
so you hope to know more about her. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see.
She's no Peter Quinn, but I'm kidding.
I mean, I'm sure Lauren doesn't think she's any Peter Quinn.
No, Lauren.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I would like to see more of this character and see how it develops with the story, especially now that they don't really need her. They need her before. Now they've gotten to the next level of the operation.
Yeah.
And they're sending this guy back, and it's in play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on.
But I think Saul will have a small team. It'll be Carrie, Farrah, you know, Peter Quinn, and they'll be their own.
And now Dar's going to be on that team as well.
They'll be their own separate entity, I think.
I didn't know what was going to happen with Dar when he showed up to Peter Quinn's house.
Yeah.
When Peter Quinn got out of the shower.
I don't like how they show up to your house, though. That's creepy, right?
It is creepy.
It's like, hey, I'm at your front door.
Right. Well, CIA, they're watching everybody anyway. So why don't you just take it one step further?
He's got hella instincts, though, because he's in the shower. And he's like, someone's at my front door.
Right. It's Peter Quinn. He's part Spider-Man.
Right.
It's like born identity. Mm.
I'm surprised he didn't get those cameras, you know, because he usually... You know, vets a location out pretty well.
And he said he did. He said he somehow missed that, you know, which I think his senses are being dulled because he's kind of over it.
Yeah.
Senses. He's slipping. He's slipping. Also, Brody. Brody's been missing. You talking about characters on the show.
We're on Brody Watch.
Yeah.
We're still on Brody Watch.
I mean, my bet, I lost my prediction.
Ha, 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 ha. I'm just going to do that just because I feel like I need to. I need to be in this seat. I need to do that.
Thanks, Lauren.
That was from our pre-prediction day. So,
Lauren said she won last week. So I guess
I won. I do the best predictions. I won. I win all the time. I predict there's a show next week. I win.
I'm the queen.
I won.
I'm the queen of prediction.
And Peter Quinn's gonna be back.
I'm the queen.
I'm gonna have a crush on him, and I'm gonna have another crush on him.
I'm the queen.
Oh, goodness.
Oh God! All right, sorry.
I'm gonna have a dream about him tonight.
I'm disappointed. It's the first time he took a shower, had a shower scene, and she's not here.
Please, don't. It's gonna be like Beetlejuice. We keep mentioning she's gonna start coming back on and talking about it.
She's gonna bring it up next week too. She comes back.
She's gonna bring it up. No, but yeah. So Brody's again. Brody Y. So for my prediction, we'll see if my prediction comes true. Because I predicted Brody Y, and I did this like back in episode 5. I said, right? It was like episode 5. I said Brody's back in episode 8. He's either 8 or 9. I'm gonna stick to 8.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie and say if it's 9. I'm gonna say I told you so.
Right.
But I read somewhere that that the way the writers wrote it this season was as a trilogy. Like the first 4 episodes are standalone, and that's when the big twist happened. Now, everyone was like saying how, oh God, it's season. A lot of the reviews were like, what's going on with Homeland? It lost its allure, and they've run out of ideas. And then all of a sudden, you know, we found out that we were being played by Saul and Carrie,
right?
And that started episode 5, and now episode 5 through episode 8 supposedly is something else, a standalone.
All right.
So I feel Brody's going to come at the end of 8 or 9.
Ah.
So that's where I got my information.
Okay.
From. That's what, you know, I don't know if he is. That's what I'm guessing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's go to so
have fair we, assessment.
Have we broken down everything pretty much for
we, yeah. Did we want to talk about we don't need to talk about Carrie being preggers. We already knew that.
Although, yeah, she's throwing up.
Yeah. So I think we're pretty good. No bipolar conversation this week.
So,
actually, you know what? I got
oh my gosh. So you know one thing that we did not discuss, and we do need to discuss this because it's very, very, very big for Saul's character was the fact that he felt a sense of accomplishment, and the first person he wanted to call was his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he called his wife, and we caught her
in bed.
In bed with her friend from Mumbai.
She's sealing the deal with him. Yeah, totally.
Like, wow, really?
But she still loves him, because how many people would have an affair with somebody else and be like having such a vulnerable conversation on the phone with their lover, like right there?
She better watch out. He might break a bottle on her.
Always married.
Always married.
Yeah, always married in the Middle Eastern cultures.
In the eyes
of God. Eyes of God, he's still married.
And don't have Saul come, like, find you.
Saul just have somebody take you out.
Yeah.
But you know, Saul is so intelligent, I think, and he's so intuitive. I think he knows she's screwing around already. And it's not even about that. I think it's, for him, it's about their relationship, the bond. Because he's a pimp. She was in bed. It wasn't that good. Because he pimped her out the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it when I said, you know, that it didn't bother me. Yeah, it bothered me. When I said I didn't miss you, I missed you.
I thought that was great. When I said I didn't care about you, I care about you. When I said I didn't have a claim on you, I do have a claim on
you.
I thought that was huge.
It was huge.
I do have a claim on you. That's almost kind of like what Javadi said.
Exactly.
In a way, when you think about
it. She's in bed with this guy, and he rolls over to rub her. She's like, well, get off me.
Get off me.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man.
So I guess the question is it too late? I guess it's not too late, because it seems like
it's not too late.
But I do like how at the end of the episode that they hugged, and I thought he was gonna kiss, and I was like, no, don't kiss her, she hasn't brushed her teeth yet.
She did.
She did brush her teeth, or
I don't know.
I hope so. I don't know.
Although, don't kiss her. She
had on a little sexy outfit for Saul.
It seemed like
she
the same.
Knew he was coming home.
Oh god, she's been quite sexy.
Saul's back in the sack now.
Mississippi Masala.
Well, who knows? In 10 days, he might have a lot more free time.
Oh man,
with her, so they can do their little honeymoon or something.
Well, that was
they could run off to the sunset, happy ever after.
All right, so we had to cap it off with
Saul.
So let's go to news and gossip. Let's talk about news and gossip real quick.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so I have a follower, or we have a follower.
We have a follower.
We have a particular follower on Twitter,
and we love you.
Her name is Lois Elfman,
yes.
And you could find her and follow her at Lois Elfman, and she does interviews and whatnot, and she's very knowledgeable of the show. She actually just did an interview with one of the cast members of Homeland.
Nice.
Herself, and she watches us. She's great. She has a lot of great theories and philosophies about stuff that's going on in the show. She presents cool questions or whatnot. But she interviewed Farrah, the character, the actress that plays Farrah. Her name is Nazanin Boniadi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but Nazanin or Boniadi.
Sounds like something I would say.
Yeah.
She had a nice
interview with her, and you guys can go online to divinecaroline.com. And check that interview out that Lois did with her. I liked
very
it.
Cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. So
yeah,
we have cool fans and cool followers that watch the show does. But we have some cool ones here, too.
Yeah, we have some cool ones to listen to us.
It's really dope. So yeah, you guys go check that out, divinecaroline.com. Mm. Lois Elfman's interview with Nazanin Boniadi of Homeland that plays Farrah. Let's go to predictions. And hopefully Lois will give us a couple of predictions too, along like she always does.
Mm.
Okay, so episode 8, season 3, Homeland.
Mm-hmm.
Predictions. Stefan, go.
Stefan, go. Yes.
Stefan Wallace, go.
I predict that Carrie, in her instability,
mm-hmm.
will make a very bad move coming up soon. Is that vague enough?
Okay, Lord.
Oh, God.
I mean, Stefan.
I was caught off guard. All right. Predictions.
I predict that Saul has a plan in the long term that we will see.
Oh, God.
So that I could say, I told you I was right.
You're the king of predictions.
I'm the king of predictions. I got one. Thaddeus, you're just losing these prediction games. What's up with that, Thaddeus?
I'm killing you.
Okay,
killing
you. I'm about to get you right now. I predict that there will be another episode.
I already predicted that. I was first. No, I did that before. I did that earlier. I actually did that earlier. In this episode.
Okay.
Pretending I was Lauren.
Then I'll go out on a limb and I'll say, I'll predict that we'll see credits after the end of the next episode.
No, okay. Seriously, Brody Watch. Do you think he's coming back next episode? I originally predicted 8. I think 9 now, based on my.
No, I don't. Actually, you know what? After we didn't see him this episode, and it doesn't look like we're going to see him next episode. And based on the preview for next week, mm-hmm. It doesn't look like we'll see him the week after that either. It just kind of I'm predicting.
So there's only 12 episodes in this season.
I know. So I'm wondering if we're gonna ever see Brody again.
You will see it. Wait, I can't even speak. Are you serious? You think they're gonna leave us like that with Brody?
I don't know. To me, it doesn't make any sense.
And
but I'm like, how are they gonna even?
He's still in the freaking opening credits. I mean, come on.
Right, he is. But I mean, they showed him for this season. I didn't like how they showed him. I honestly thought that. How they showed him and where he's at and what he's doing, the whole plot line story, he's out there in Venezuela in some tower on heroin.
Mm-hmm.
It was a week. I think it was a week.
Yeah.
With that weird doctor.
I think to me it was.
And now Dana's gone too. Who do you think is going to return first, Dana or Brody?
That's Brody. A good question.
Definitely Brody. I want to go out on a limb. I want to say Brody will be back next episode.
Okay.
Wow.
You're not really going on because I already said that, but that's okay.
But that,
man, I feel like I got to get away from this seat. I'm turning into Lauren.
No, but you actually made that prediction before Stefan
joined us. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
So, until next week, where can we find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter at IAmMoreFire. I am more fire.
All right. I'm not Lauren Leonelli. I'm Nando Velasquez. You can find me on Twitter at Nando Vel, NANDOVEL.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Club Thaddeus, CLUBTHADDEUS. Until next time, after buzzers.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.